Please silence your electronic devices as we listen to Lonnie's prelude in preparation for worship. Was just wonderful, Lonnie. Well, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church on this Super Sunday. Obviously, we can spell super a couple different ways today. It's wonderful to see everyone here. Please look over the announcements on the back of the bulletin and check out the calendar of events carefully. Be sure to read about our church's history with the Super Bowl of Caring. Also note that our Lenten services and soup suppers begin on Ash Wednesday, February 14th. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board if you are interested in providing soup for one of the Wednesday nights. And if you can help with snow removal, there's a sign-up sheet for that, and it will be greatly appreciated. Two other opportunities are listed on your bulletin: the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University starting February 25th, and the Wild Women of the West. Now that sounds interesting. Anyway, check those out. Also, take note that First Christian Church wants to fill the pianist accompanist position. We're really thankful for Kathy and Lonnie filling in so ably and beautifully. But if and Melanie, thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leave anyone out. Are there any other announcements? Be sure that you do sign the friendship pad and pass it back to the center aisle. We'll now have a video about the Super Bowl of Caring.
There are a million stories, but this one is yours, because you are the one person that can make a difference. And collectively, we can make a change. The Super Bowl of Caring gives you a way to help. Super Bowl dollars and Super Bowl youth are at work at thousands of charitable organizations across the world. We work in food pantries. We roll up our sleeves at food banks and collect donations in soup pots, $1 at a time. All of the money that you help raise stays in your community and is contributed to the charity you and your youth group choose. We help organizations that work from within each community to solve problems. And along the way, show care and compassion. The Super Bowl Service Blitz is one day set aside where tens of thousands of volunteers from church youth groups gather to serve hands-on at soup kitchens, food banks, or a charity of their choice, the day before the big game. And the Super Bowl of Caring Donation Day is on Super Bowl Sunday. Get involved and make a difference. The Super Bowl of Caring needs you. With your involvement, $1 at a time, amazing things can happen.
If you brought a can of soup or cans of soup or other food items today, you can place those on the table in Fellowship Hall. The youth will be available after worship to collect dollar bills or other cash donations as we celebrate Super Bowl Sunday. And I just want to remind you to be sure to sign the friendship pad if you haven't done that. Or maybe I've already reminded you once. I'm not sure. Everyone should remember now. Okay. We'll stand and greet one another and then sing our opening hymn, Trust and Obey, in our hymnal on page 556, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Please join me for the call to worship. In healing, Jesus did embrace an energy we cannot trace. His love revealed in every place the mystery of amazing grace.
They came to Jesus to be blessed, the sick and those who were possessed. Healing was their one request. They came and would not let him rest.
With compassion for their flight, for their plight, Christ gave peace, put fears to flight. May we learn from his deep insight and uphold those looking for the light.
The healing of our soul, strength of hope, joy unroll, the happiness of being whole is ours when love has full control.
Will you please pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come to worship and to be healed from the diseases of mind and body and spirit. We need you to forgive us our sins and to heal us with your love and compassion. Please fill us with hope and joy and set our feet on a straight course as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 564, He Touched Me.
Thank you.
I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Hi, Carson.
Hi.
Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you today. The scripture that we're going to read about today includes a story of Jesus touching someone and making them well. They had been sick, and Jesus reached out and touched them and made them well. There are times that we can help other people through a simple touch. If somebody's feeling alone and we introduce ourselves and shake hands, Carson was shaking hands during fellowship time this morning, it can make someone feel welcome. Sometimes if you're feeling sad or discouraged, you've had a hard day, and your mom or your dad, somebody you love who really loves you, they offer to give you a hug, sometimes that can make you feel a whole lot better. Sometimes those good touches really help us to feel loved. There's another way that we can touch people. Instead of just a physical touch, if we give someone help, we're touching them with God's love. So today we're celebrating the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl like soup, and we're collecting canned goods to give to people who might be hungry, who might not have something to eat, to help them. Some of you have been around a while and you've seen us do the Super Bowl of caring before. We always do it on Super Bowl Sunday when two football teams play a huge game. Are any of you football fans? I bet the Woods House is going to have the Super Bowl on today. Are you cheering for the Patriots? You're cheering for the Eagles. Okay. Did you know that the Eagles, not the football team, but Eagles show up in Scripture 33 times, and the word Patriot doesn't? I don't know that that has anything to do with football, just a little Bible trivia today. So depending on who you're cheering for, it could be a really exciting afternoon. Thank you all for the things that you do that touch other people, that help them, that bless them. Let's say a prayer together. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of sport and athleticism, for the joy of healthy competition. We thank you also for the gift of touch, for kind, gentle, healthy touches, for handshakes and hugs, for gifts of generosity that help others. Lord, may we always use the blessing of touch to bring your healing and never to hurt. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming today. You can go to Worship and Wonder or Sunday School or sit with Mom and Dad. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns, and as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning is for Joan McNamara. Joan is out of the hospital and home, but still fighting a lung infection. Her doctors don't want her to be exposed to cold and flu, so she's stayed home today, even though Bob is present in worship with us. Please pray for Joan's healing. Pray for both Joan and Bob, as they'll have some changes and adjustments to make in life right now. Some prayer concerns lifted up at first service today. Kevin Anderson shared an observation that you often hear the phrase, "Keep Christ in Christmas." He said, we also need to keep Christ in Christian. I thought it was a good phrase. He is praying that all Christians will continually affirm the divinity and love of Christ. Dewey Smith asked us to pray for a new coworker, Christian McGrady, who's a young man, only been hired about 2 weeks ago. He came down with a severe case of pneumonia. He's in ICU, and some of his organs are beginning to shut down. He is seriously ill. Prayers for Christian. Prayers also for Ann Caswell. She was working at one of the mines and was in a head-on vehicle accident, suffered multiple broken bones. Prayers of healing for her. We offer prayers of sympathy to Marianne Kane and family. Her mother has passed away. Her mom's service will be on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at Newcomers Funeral Home. And we're in discussion about having a luncheon here at church on Thursday. So if you want to help with that, you might see Wanda Leeling for more details after worship today. Prayers of healing for Darlene. For Darlene McIrvin, she is at Wyoming Medical Center. Darlene is not well. Her heart and lungs have had fluid building up. The doctors have drained it off, but between her age and the cancer, it has put a serious burden on her health. Prayers for Stan as he's keeping vigil in her hospital room. Their kids from Denver and Laramie have come up to be with them this weekend. So please pray for Darlene. We are thankful that Ann Clockseam was able to make it to worship today. We're glad she's out of the hospital, and we continue to pray for health and strength for her. The missionaries we're lifting up today are Sarah and Victor Makari, who serve in Israel and Palestine. We continue to pray for victims of violence, especially since there was another school shooting this week. Prayers for students and teachers and communities affected. And our regional prayer partners are the members of Harvey Park Christian Church in Denver. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. Are there others today that we need to add to this list, other joys or concerns we want to name this morning? Dan. Prayers for Chuck Stewart as he continues to have medical tests. Prayers for Billy Triplett. When he and I spoke briefly yesterday, he was hoping to be in worship this morning. He has been sleeping a lot, just really struggling with energy and his health as well. Let us bring all these concerns to the Lord as we pray together in a time of shared silence. O holy God of hope and healing, we turn to you in prayer for ourselves and those we love, for communities and situations that we know, and for the world in which we live. Lord Jesus, your gentle touch brought healing to so many. When you walked among us, Lord, we name to you that our world still needs healing. We pray for people today who are in need of physical health and strength, but also for people and communities where emotional healing is needed, where spiritual healing is lacking. Oh, holy God, we pray that you will continue to touch the world that you love. Gracious God, we pray for Joan, our sister in Christ. We pray specifically for healing for her lungs, for strength for her body to fight infection, for peace for Joan and Bob in their daily lives. We pray for Marianne and her family and all who grieve. We give you thanks, O God, for her mother's life and that suffering has now ended and she is at peace with you. Lord, we pray for Chuck and others who are facing medical testing, who struggle with health. We pray for Billy. We thank you for Anne's recovery and continue to pray for her health. We pray for Christian and Anne. For Darlene and Stan, oh God, we ask your spirit to be with them in the hospital room at Wyoming Medical Center. We pray for your healing hand to be upon Darlene. O God, we pray that in accordance with your will, she will be healed. Lord, we know that sometimes healing comes with eternal rest at the end of a long fight. None of us know the number of our days. For those for whom their last day is soon, we pray for peace. Oh God, we thank you for challenges to our faith. We pray that Christians everywhere would continually affirm Christ's divinity and love, and that we might keep you, O Christ, in our lives as we claim the name Christian. We pray for Sarah and Victor Macari and the work that they do in Israel and Palestine. We pray for the members of Harvey Park Christian Church in Denver. O gracious God, for all in our world who need your healing touch, we ask for your presence, your guiding grace, your strengthening spirit, your healing touch. Bless us, O Lord, to use our lives to touch others in Christ's name. It is in your name that we pray and we live. Amen. This afternoon, as the Super Bowl is celebrated, in homes and restaurants across the country, there will be special snacks served for the game day. If you're from a football family, you might even have a lucky recipe that you always fix when your team is playing. You know, that special dip with just the right ingredients. If you don't fix it, they might lose. A little superstition sneaks into some homes around Super Bowl time. You put on your lucky socks or wave your lucky towel. You cry out your happy cheer to hope your team will win. Part of the fun of watching the Super Bowl for me is seeing the commercials in between the plays of the game. There are a few companies that are always pretty entertaining, and no wonder when they spend millions of dollars for a 30-second ad. I was shocked this week when I learned that the least expensive ticket you could get if you actually wanted to attend the Super Bowl in presence, physically, was $3,000. Charles and I had a conversation about just wondering what would America look like if we took all the money invested in one game, all the tickets, all the salaries, all the cost of the uniforms, all the advertising, and we used it in a different way for just one day, to feed somebody who's hungry or to pay a public school teacher or to build a new hospital or repair a bridge. Of course, Charles and I don't run the world. We don't get to pick how other people will spend money. When we come to the Lord's table, we don't have to spend millions of dollars to get here. But there's also not a game day snack. The menu really never varies. Bread and wine. It's a pretty simple, humble meal. But it is offered in great love to Patriot and Eagle fans alike, to those who wish their team was playing in the big game, and to those who couldn't care less. Communion is offered on Super Bowl Sunday and every Sunday. In the game of life, if Christ is on your side, you will always win, even if the world doesn't recognize the victory. The Lord's table is open to all who long to know Christ's love. This morning, we'll share communion by intinction. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle. Take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and partake. Place your tithes and offerings and prayer cards in the trays at the front pew and then return by the side aisles. If you prefer to remain seated, you'll be served in your pew. Let us prepare to share together in both offering and communion as we sing number 554, "You Are My Hiding Place." As we come to the Lord's table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends. While they were in the upper room, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
We realize, our God, that life is your greatest gift to us, and we give thanks for our daily food. As we break and eat this bread and drink of this cup, fill us anew with an awareness of your nearness and your presence with us. Install within us your spirit to help us live more worthily as you would have us live. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we are truly grateful for all your gifts to us. You have blessed us with life and love, with peace and grace, and have provided us with all our worldly needs. As we return these portions to you, may they bless those who will receive them. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a rock that was If you would follow with me in your Bible on page 35, I'm going to do the first reading, Mark 21 through 31. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him?" At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them.
Our reading continues. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Choir and Anne and Amber, thank you for that music today, the shelter in the storm. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of Scripture, the stories of faith. We pray that in this time of reflection, your Spirit will speak to us and touch us. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It is interesting to be aware of the beginning of Jesus' ministry as told in each of the Gospels. In the Gospel according to John, the first public act of ministry that reveals Jesus' identity is when he shows up at a wedding in Cana and turns water to wine. He's revealed to be a miracle worker, a generous giver, an obedient son. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' ministry begins by his preaching the Sermon on the Mount, an incredible extended teaching to the crowds. He's revealed to be one who speaks of the kingdom of God in revelatory ways. In Luke, Jesus' ministry begins again with him preaching, this time in his own hometown in Nazareth. He stands up in the synagogue and unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and reads the proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is called to proclaim the year of the Lord when captives are set free and the blind recover their sight. But the message is not well received in that hometown crowd. In fact, they try to drive him away. So Jesus is revealed to be one who proclaims the kingdom of God, but is mistaken as a troublemaker. Mark's gospel has Jesus begin his ministry with a series of hectic, busy activities, one after another. Throughout Mark's gospel, we hear again and again the word immediately, as soon as. Jesus is always on the move. Mark reveals Jesus to be the one in whom the Spirit of God is restless and active. His ministry is a combination of both words and works. Preaching and praying and healing all happen jumbled together, one right on top of each other in Mark's telling. If you've been in worship the last few Sundays, then you'll remember Mark's story of Jesus' baptism when he comes up out of the water and the heavens are ripped open and the Holy Spirit proclaims, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." And then last Sunday, we heard the story of Jesus calling his first disciples, Simon and his brother Andrew, and the brothers James and John are called to leave their fishing nets and become fishers for men. That's where we pick up the story. Jesus has been baptized. He's been to the wilderness for 40 days. He's called the first four apostles, and immediately they went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. It's interesting that little word in the Greek that we translate immediately shows up so often that sometimes it even gets skipped over. If we were literally going to translate the Greek in verse 21, it might read something like, "They went to Capernaum, and the Sabbath came immediately, and he began to teach." It's almost as if wherever Jesus went, it was Sabbath time. No matter what he was up to, God was doing something in his midst. The people were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Imagine for a moment what it might have been like to be in worship in that synagogue in Capernaum. It was just a normal Sabbath day. The folks who were there, some of them probably went to worship every single week. It was their custom, their habit. For some, perhaps a religious duty. Chances are there were a few there because they had a family member who made them go. And so they showed up. For some, maybe it was their social highlight of the week, a chance to catch up with friends and see people they knew well, to chat and visit a little before or after the service. Chances are most of the folks who came to the synagogue that Sabbath day weren't expecting anything out of the ordinary. It was their usual habit to be there. And then in their midst is this traveling teacher, this rabbi from Nazareth, who's being followed around by a few fishermen, and he teaches with such authority, it is almost as if they have never heard the word of God before. They are astounded. And then, to top it off, there, in the regular synagogue where they come every Sabbath day, a man with an unclean spirit begins to shout. It would be a rather memorable moment, I'd expect. The man cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Mark doesn't indicate if this was a stranger in their midst, someone passing through town who happened to show up at the synagogue, or perhaps who had heard that Jesus would be there and decided to come for the first time, or if this man was someone who was in the synagogue always. Maybe he'd even been kicked out before, and that morning he decided to sneak in the back and sit behind someone with a big hat so no one would know he was there. Maybe he was one of the regulars, one of their own, that rabble-rouser wackadoodle that they tolerated, and he started mumbling to himself, as he often did, and then he was getting worked up, and all of a sudden he was shouting, and everyone around him was thinking, "Just be quiet." They were embarrassed. This new rabbi, they really liked his teaching. They hoped he'd come back, but you know, if Crazy Joe, whom we love, keeps carrying on, he'll never show up here again. Everyone around the man who has no name is thinking to themselves, just be quiet, will you? And then Jesus says it, "Be silent." What a moment of relief for the entire congregation. Everyone could take a deep breath. He said what we were all thinking, just be quiet. I wonder about his statement, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" It's not completely clear who is the intended recipient of that plural statement. Who is the us the man is talking about? Are the voices inside of him so many that he refers to himself in the plural, or is he talking about all the people seated around with him? Jesus, what do you have to do with us, all the folks who are here today? We're not quite sure from Mark's telling. Likewise, we can't fully understand the affliction that had gripped this man. The worldview of first century and pre-first century life was different than it is now. Perhaps this individual suffered from some form of what modern physicians would define as mental illness. Perhaps with the detail given later on that he suffers from convulsions, perhaps it was a form of epilepsy. Perhaps it was some form of demonic possession that Hollywood would display with an individual's head spinning in circles at lightning speed and graphic gore in the midst of a horror movie. We don't know what it means that this man had an unclean spirit, but it's clear that there was something wrong. There was some struggle in his life, and it ended that day. Everyone who was in the synagogue that morning at Capernaum would remember it for the rest of their lives. The teaching that Jesus had given when he spoke with such authority, they felt the presence of the Holy. And then when the one in their midst was made whole. What is it in our lives that might make us identify with that unclean man? Do we have a source of shame, a moment in our lives or a memory that we keep buried far away from the light? A struggle, a burden we're carrying currently that we're not comfortable talking about with others that makes us feel unclean, unworthy. It makes us want to just sneak into the sanctuary and sit in the back row behind someone else and then leave. So maybe no one will even talk to us, but we know we need God's presence, so we still come. Is there something in your life that ever makes you feel unclean or unwanted? A mistake you have made that you haven't yet let go of and asked for forgiveness? Or a wound someone else caused to you, a hurt that is so deep and heavy, it has yet to heal. The good news in these few verses from Mark's gospel is that Jesus can heal us as well if we have an unclean spirit. It's no wonder that at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went to Simon and Andrew's house, to the home of Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick in bed with fever, and they came and told Jesus about it at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And just like that, the fever left her and she was well. Oh my, we long so much for that power of healing today, for our loved ones, for those who are sick at home in bed this morning, not able to be in worship, for those who are sick or suffering in the hospital, whether they have the flu or in ICU with pneumonia or struggling from cancer, how we wish that Jesus would come in physical form and take their hand and heal them just like that. No wonder that word continued to spread. She had been sick, and immediately she was able to resume her own activities. She got out of bed and started to serve them. She was filled with such joy at being made well that she could do what she wanted to do most, offer hospitality to her own family and friends and to this new man, Jesus, that Simon had brought to meet her. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. Again, we don't even know what that means, but people who were suffering or struggling in such a way that their communities labeled them as the outsiders, they were brought to Jesus. What a day he has had. From preaching in the synagogue in the morning, to healing the woman who might serve him lunch or dinner, to that evening having the crowds gather around. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. How interesting that Mark reminds us it is the powers that be in the world that recognize God's glory before human eyes completely grasp the reality of Christ. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. I would imagine so. After a day like that, when you go to worship at the synagogue and end up healing an unclean spirit, and then curing Simon Peter's mother-in-law and healing the crowd, no wonder Jesus wanted some alone time. Some quiet time to pray with God. What is the rhythm of your life like? Is your life as busy and full and hectic as this day was that Jesus shared with the disciples, going from one activity to another to another? If you look at your calendar this week, are you booked or overbooked? Or is there some empty space? This simple story about the discipline of Jesus' life to spend time in prayer reminds us in our own lives. When we feel most busy or burdened, we need to take time to pray. Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is searching for you." Not just Simon and Andrew and James and John, not just the folks from the synagogue in Capernaum, not just Simon's mother-in-law. Maybe she wanted to thank that nice Jewish boy for what he'd done yesterday. Everyone was looking for him. All the people that he had healed the night before, all their family members, all their friends, all the people from neighboring towns. If he had wanted, Jesus could have become king of Capernaum. They would have crowned him in that very moment. But instead, he said, "Let us go on. Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also." the rhythm of his life's work continues with preaching and praying and proclaiming the kingdom of God through works of the gospel, through healing those who were sick or suffering. And then we find this little story. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling and saying, "If you choose, you can make me clean." In that time frame in history, if you suffered from leprosy, you were to live in isolation. It was such a highly contagious skin disease that no one in their right mind would ever touch you for fear that they would get sick too. Can you imagine being a leper? Being someone who can't even hug your own children, kiss your own spouse, shake hands with your own neighbors? Can you imagine being someone who is so isolated, no one else is even going to give you the time of day? They don't want to be around that sicko. In modern times, we might put you in an isolation ward in a hospital if you have a highly contagious disease. You'd be protected behind plastic sheeting. There wasn't such medical technology in those days, and so people were just shut out from their own villages and homes. So it is significant that Jesus not only has compassion on this man and chooses to heal him, but he stretches out his hand and touches him. Jesus touches the untouchable. Jesus loves the unlovable. Jesus welcomes the outcast. Those people who make everyone else cringe are the first to be welcomed by our Lord and Savior. "I do choose," Jesus said, "be made clean." And immediately, that wonderful Markan word, immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Can you imagine what it would be like to be fully restored to your former life, to yourself, to be able to look in the mirror and recognize who you are, to be able, perhaps after years of having been ostracized, to embrace and hold those whom you love? This man was so filled with joy at that moment, I suspect he wasn't even listening to Jesus' instructions. When he said, "See that you say nothing to anyone," Jesus wasn't doing this healing for glory or fame. "Go and show yourself to the priest. Offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But instead, the former leper runs around town telling everybody, "Jesus healed me." The word spread so fast and so far that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed in the countryside, and people came out to him. Mark gives us scattershot, rapid fire, one story after another of Jesus exploding the gospel of God through his words and his work, of healing right and left those who were sick, of transforming communities one after another. It's almost too much to take in. What is it that Jesus has done in your life that would move you to tell someone else you are a Christian? You are who you are because God loves you. How has Jesus touched you? How has Jesus healed your heart? How has Jesus changed your life in such a way that you need to tell someone else the gospel story? You need to show the world that you are forgiven and loved. Immediately, Mark tells us, God was set free. People who had been possessed were suddenly no longer possessed, but free. In our modern society, we don't hear too much too often about people struggling with demon possessions. Sometimes, perhaps, we struggle because we're possessed by our possessions. We have so much stuff that can get overwhelming. And yet, even then, God will set us free. God will give us a heart so generous that we want to give ourselves away and find a new way of being. In Mark's gospel, Jesus cannot be contained. The Holy Spirit of God cannot be confined. When Jesus comes up out of the baptismal waters, heaven itself is ripped open, and the Spirit of God proclaims, "This is my Son." And then we see that Son at work, God on the loose, in the country, in the city, in the synagogue, in the town square, in the home. Every place he goes, the Spirit of God is at work. Where will you go this week? Will the Spirit of God be at work through you? Will you touch someone else and change the world? God is still on the loose. Watch out. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 565, "If You Will Trust in God to Guide You." If there is anyone here this morning looking for a church home, we welcome you at First Christian by transfer of membership or confession of faith and baptism, renewal of faith. If there's anyone who is moved to publicly proclaim your faith in Christ, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. Would remind you that we have a fellowship time after worship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's refreshments and coffee. We hope that you'll stay for a moment and greet one another. The youth will be outside the sanctuary with soup kettles. You're welcome to put in a dollar or whatever you're moved to give. This year's Super Bowl of Caring recipients locally from our congregation will be NAMI, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the ways in which you heal us, the ways in which you touch us, perhaps when we deserve it the least. Lord, may your healing still flow to us and through us as we go forth with Christ in works and words to proclaim your glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.